I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. Though no one joins me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning, brothers and sisters. My heart sings as I see your faces. Real blessing to be together with you. I appreciate your thoughts and prayers on our behalf in the last number of weeks. And it's just our joy to gather together with you this morning and to be a part of the battle, a part of the glorious kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. Bring you greetings from our brothers and sisters in Mexico. Also from a few in Guatemala. Carlos Chuta sends his greetings, a man we visited. Friend Brian had for years, he and Wilbur visited. Might mention the names, if I can recall them all, the brethren in Tlaxcala. Especially also the brethren in the, at the border, Brother Eloy and his mother, Guillermina. Brother Daniel Barajas sends his greetings. Sister Erica's father, along with his wife, Sister Patty. And their two sons at home yet, Marco Antonio and Ismael. Also Sister Areli, their daughter at home. That you all know, and his niece and her husband, Brother Pedro Santos, and his wife Marisol, their three children, Liam, Lael, and their little girl, Elisa. And also bring greetings from his brother Josue Moreno, single brother. Brother Daniel's nephew, Brother Israel. Also from Daniel's brother-in-law, Enrique. One we call Henry Mahendri de Lote Chihuahua. And his wife, Sister Rosy, and daughter Jessica. That's most of them there, I believe. Keep praying for them. Their prayers are with you here. Their desire to visit as well. The day we left, Brother Ismael, he and his father, Brother Daniel, went to the city of Mexico City to the U.S. Embassy because he had an appointment to see if they would grant him a visa to come visit us here in Monette. And he ended up being denied, which is really, really common. And but their desire is to see you, brethren, and to be encouraged and strengthened in the most holy faith, and to encourage you to press on as well. Brother Damian Carpintero in Tehuacan, Puebla, also sends his greetings, along with Brother Brian and Olin, busy there in the work of the Lord, and wielding the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Let's pray for them, Brother Brian and Olin. The Lord will give them strength and courage. It is discouraging at times. In some ways, you know, Mexico is different from Peru. It seems like in the mountains of Peru, the brethren mentioned it a number of times. They walked from town to town, and so many people just come out and ask them questions all over the place, just really interested in knowing who they are and what they're teaching. But Mexico, they go in the mountains and the people are sealed up and just pretty indifferent and say, "We're Catholic. We have our religion ready. What do we need?" And very few ever come and talk with them or think of or see it even interesting. So it's pretty slim picking, you might say. Pray for Brother Josue Moreno and Brother Israel as they accompany Brian and Olin through Central America. Not sure their plans for sure yet, but I do know Brother Josue plans to be with them for the next couple of weeks during this December vacation from work. And Brother Israel may stay with them for a long time. He's well able to lead his work, and we're encouraging him if he feels the Lord's direction just to be with them, stay with them. It's a real blessing for Brian and Olin to go around preaching and have a brother that is their own fellow countryman to present, who is walking this way, and as a young man faithfully bearing the cross and the banner of Christ. The Lord is good to us. Thank Him for, I was just thinking lately of His healing on our sicknesses, His tender care, His kindness to us, His mercies, which are great and new every morning. Praise God. Just got a letter this week, traveling up from Mexico. Noticed we got an email from a man in Andorra, a little mountain range that's between Spain and France. And it's a very interesting letter. Just ask your prayers for this man, Nathan. Spanish speaking. He says that he got on our website and he read the book Secret of the Strength, and he read the testimony of the Anabaptists there, and just became filled with desire to be identified with someone that takes up their cross and against all odds and becomes a faithful church following the Lord Jesus in this world. And he said he has so much to learn and he would like our counsel and direction. And he says that he finds himself not at all in fitting in with any other church that he knows of or grew up with. And has just seen shipwreck and disaster as far as the faith all around. And he just longs to be a part of the fellowship of truth. I wrote back to him and encouraged him and spoke of the need to be this church and to be willing to walk worthy of the Lord. Willing to walk by himself if need be for a long time. And he wrote back to me saying that, he said, this walking by myself, he said, it just raises a whole another set of questions. How do you do that? What if I would need to walk by myself the rest of my life? Isn't that a possibility? And I'm going to respond to him, Lord willing, this afternoon. He said, I see the testimony of the Anabaptists and faithful groups, and they just started meeting together because they had a common desire. Is that your testimony? Can you say the same thing? What? It just seems like to walk, you have to have a few of them that decide to together, more or less, is what he's saying. Just, he said, I want to know. And I've just been thinking of these words lately in response to things like that, response to some of the people in Guatemala and their extreme disappointment in the church and in the groups they've been a part of, thinking about the challenges you've faced and we face together. I've just been thinking about that and thought of the Lord and His words to His disciples. Cheer up, He says. I have decided to follow Jesus. Though no one joins me, I'm going to follow. And we very happily sing that and get kind of excited about it. And it just inspires us. But when we face difficulty and challenges, we get afraid. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Therefore, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood in your striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are reproved by him. For those whom the Lord loves, he disciplines, and he scourges every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you endure. God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? But if you are without discipline, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate children and not sons. Furthermore, we had earthly fathers to discipline us, and we respected them. Shall we not much rather be subject to the Father of spirits and live? For they disciplined us for a short time as seemed best to them. But He disciplines us for our good, so that we may share His holiness. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Therefore strengthen the hands that are weak and the knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet, so that the limb which is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Pursue peace with all men, and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord. See to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Verse 2. I always was blessed with the strength of the first phrase in Spanish. It said exactly, word for word, as to what the New American Standard here says. Instead of the King James just looking unto Jesus, it says, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, despising that shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. There's a difference. There is fixing our eyes on Jesus requires a prior deliberation that just looking unto Him maybe doesn't have. Fixing our eyes on Him. Putting forth effort to keep our gaze on Him, our example, and our very reason for striving. To fix our eyes on Him means that we keep considering Him and the way He walked here in this world and endured such insecurity and hostility by sinners against Himself, so that we will not grow weary and lose heart. The apostle is telling them here, cheer up. Be of good cheer. Our Lord had to tell His disciples in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. One man in Guatemala we were talking with, been excommunicated from the very church that my wife grew up in, very, very same location. We knew him well. Faced great disappointments from those he called his brethren. It had been told, been informed of the decision by the North American Council, the Mission Board, that you, the the limit of money that they could lend to a Guatemalan brother was 200 quetzales. Their money there, just $40. That's the limit you could lend to anybody, brother or no brother. A joint decision to avoid problems. And just informed of that. Another time, a dear old brother, I remember him, you'd always ask him, "How are you doing?" He'd say, "Bad." He just had so many health problems, and I wished he could respond a little bit more cheerily, but he didn't. He just said, "Bad." He had a roof that was just needing replacement on his house, and this brother had said that the leader, the minister, the North American minister, which their decision is, here we provide a church for you, we provide leaders for you and everything, he came to him and said, "Hey, let's..." The leader, the North American leader, can't come to him and said, let's go put a roof on Brother Vicente's house." And Brother Jorge, this man said, "Yes, let's go do it. We're going. Let's put a roof on his house." And they were making plans, and here come another brother and said, another Guatemalan brother, he said, "Nope, we can't do this. We can't do it. The community is talking. They said that they're saying the North Americans just fix up their members' houses. They just basically make it nice for them. They have it made. They just repair their houses. They're just talking." And they said, they're saying, "Look at that. We can't go and do that." And the North American minister says, "You're right. You're right. We can't do it. Let's call it off. We need to be careful about how we're looked by the world." The man I'm talking about, later got excommunicated, said, "No, let's go anyway. It doesn't matter one bit what the world says about us. If the North Americans help their members to have better houses and so on, so be it. What do we want to hide? That's the way it is. We help each other. Doesn't matter one bit." And they told him, "No." And he kept insisting, "What's going on here?" They said, "You're proud." And so, one thing after another, experiences that disappointed him began to take away his courage, to the point where he was bitter, and is. And they said to him, "You're just bitter." And he said, "Yeah, okay, I am. Let's look at it. Why am I?" And they refused to look at him. They refused to look at the things that caused his grievances. He was devastated. And he said, "We're hungry for a church that holds the truth. We're hungry and thirsty for a church that holds the truth." But so far, he's been unwilling to courageously walk himself. He has a hard look in his face as he talks about those who had been his brethren. His two oldest boys saw this hypocrisy in the church, and they left and went illegally to the States to earn money. Come up here to earn money in Ohio. No longer in the faith, no longer standing for anything. And that just added another blow, another weight to this man, to the father. We told him, On the judgment day, the Lord's going to tell us, there was the way you could have walked. By yourself you could have. You had my words. He agrees. He says, that's right. I know that. The brethren are going to keep, are going to go back and visit him. He invited us back. And many of us have faced things like that in the past. Disappointments. And now in the way that we're walking in, fears beset us. And even though we've not resisted yet unto blood, striving against sin, the fears beset us that what if I'm seeing the same thing that I saw before? And we lose confidence. We're afraid that the things that our family members and our former brethren prophesied against us are going to come to pass. We're scared that, we're going to end up by ourselves. We're going to end up without security. We're going to end up in a dangerous place. We're going to end up overwhelmed by disappointment. And we lose heart. And we get afraid. And that fear can take a hold of us and cause us to lose confidence in our own brethren. Cause us to forget to fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And this is nothing new at all. Remember, Abraham, God called him. God said, I'm going to make of you a great nation. You've obeyed me. You obeyed me without questioning me. Now I'm going to make of you a great nation. And time went on, and it looked like he's going to be left all by himself. And the Lord said, yes, I'm going to give you a son. But he didn't get any son. And he kept asking. He said, I've got this illegitimate boy here. Maybe he could live before you. Maybe he'll be the son. God said, cheer up. Just trust. Just keep on. One brother this week was asking about training his children. That he said, my little boy just doesn't have any children to play with. He does. Are we taking? Sometimes he's able to play with some neighbor children with our supervision, and we'll go to the park where there's a lot of families and children walking through. And my little boy just walks up and says, hello, how are you doing? What's your name? And a lot of other children are just scared. And then they're telling me that he's just going to grow up. Your child, not those necessarily in the park, but family members are telling him, your child's going to grow up without being balanced enough. He doesn't go to school. He won't have a rounded out social life. And he's just he's losing already. He's missing out. And he said, he does play kind of rough with the other children. He forgets, and he gets all excited when he's playing. When he does get to play with children, he gets all excited and he's bouncing around, and he's kind of rough sometimes. And they said, look, He just isn't learning. He needs more interaction and all. What am I doing? Am I going all right? He asked. I said, cheer up. Keep on. Keep right on. Gideon said to God, I'm just the least in my father's house. I'm nobody. I can't do anything. I've got a daddy still living, and here I am, his boy. And you didn't call my dad, but you called me. And what can I do? And look at the enemy. They're just huge. It's terrible. It's a mess. And God said, cheer up. Go forth. One time God told Elijah, you go show yourself to Ahab, that wicked king, full of wickedness. Had a wife that was still more wicked than he was. And God said, go show yourself to Ahab. It's time to talk to him again. So Ahab goes and finds Ahab's servant. Elijah goes and finds Ahab's servant, Obadiah, young man, God-fearing man. He had hid a bunch of prophets in a cave, actually 100, hid them by 50s in caves to hide them from the wicked queen Jezebel when she killed the prophets of the Lord. Faithful young man. He said to him, Elijah appeared to him and said, go call Ahab. Go call him and tell him to come. Oh, he said, how can you tell me to do that? I'm scared. You heard what I did. I've been faithful. I stepped out. I went all by myself. I hid God's prophets when I was doing it at the cost of my life. I could have lost my life doing that. And now you're telling me to go straight to Ahab and say, Elijah's here. And I know you. God will just take you right up when I'm over telling Ahab that you're here. Because he's looked in every kingdom for you. And he's taken oaths. He's had each country swear that you weren't with him. Because he's looking for you so hard. And I just know God will take you right up. He's always doing that to you. Taking you here and there. And when I go talk to the king, you're going to be gone when I get back. And I'm going to die. He's going to kill me. Elijah said, cheer up. Cheer up, Obadiah. Samuel had the great misfortune of the king and the leader of the God's people disobey and fall. I mean, the greatest fear you could have, deepest seated fear within him came to pass. God, the man of God, the leader, the king, chosen of God, leading the people, fell. Living in disobedience to God. And Samuel he just cried all night. There just wasn't anything else to do. Or so he thought. And God told him, you get up and you cheer up. And you go find little David. Joshua. Judges. Let's turn to Judges here. I didn't look it up exactly, but I think I can find it with your help. There's a man that was scared one time. His name was Barak. I think it's pretty close to the beginning of the book of Judges. Seems. I'm looking in Joshua.
Chapter 5,
thank you. Yep, one chapter before. Sons of Israel, verse 1, Judges chapter 4. Sons of Israel continued to do evil before the Lord, and Ehud was dead, so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who reigned in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Harosheth of the Gentiles. And the sons of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 iron chariots with him, and for 20 years he oppressed Israel with his power. Now Deborah, a prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judge of Israel at that time. And Deborah would sit under the palm tree between Ramah and Bethel and Mount Ephraim. And the sons of Israel came up to her for justice. Then Deborah sent and called for Barak, the son of Ahinoam from Kadesh, Naphtali, said to him, "Has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go to Mount Tabor and take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun, and I will bring to you at the brook of Kishon the captain of the army of Jabin with his chariots and his multitude, and will deliver them into your hands?" And Barak said to her, "If you go with me, then I will go. But if you do not go with me, I will remain here. For I am unable to discern the day when the angel of the Lord will help me." Does that sound familiar? I don't know if I have the protection or not. She said, "Certainly I will go with you. But know this, there will be no honor gained by you on the journey you are undertaking. For the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman." Then Deborah arose and went with Barak from Kadesh. There seems to be a lot of problems here. First of all, common knowledge that Israel sold into the hands of the enemy. They cry, they're crying unto the Lord. And this enemy has 900 chariots. And he just has oppressed Israel for 20 years. And the only one that's strong enough to give some kind of leadership here is a woman. And she's a man's wife. And she calls Barak, and Barak says, "I'm scared." And he said, "If you go with me, I'll go. But if you don't go with me, I'll remain here. For I remember a man telling me, I can't go out. You're just forcing me with your example going and preaching. You're just forcing me to go out there too. And I need the Lord's protection to be out there. This man has been a great example to me. And he's had led me a ways on the path of truth and righteousness. Help me to leave. Help me to have the courage to leave the church that I'd grown up with and all the approval that I enjoyed and family and friends." But he said, "I can't go do something like that. I don't have the promise that I'll be protected. I have to have the Lord's protection being out there." Deborah said, "Cheer up, but you won't get any honor. You need to lead. You need to be willing. Though none go with you, still I will follow." I'm glad he went, even though he had to go with another man's wife. He went out against the enemy, left her lead though. I'm glad he went, because there was victory. And sure enough, a simple little woman in a tent puts a big nail right through the strong captain's head. The captain of the 900 chariots of iron pretty soon had a big tent stake stuck straight through his head. At least he was willing to go. But he had no honor because he just couldn't stand up. Be of good cheer. Apostle Paul in the shipwreck, and they knew they were going to wreck. It was just terrible. The stars, they hadn't seen him for 14 days. They were fasting. They were being tossed about. It was terrible. The wind was high. The ship was starting to fall apart. All hope that they'd be saved was lost. The Apostle Paul took some bread, dug in the cupboard and got out some little hard tack or something and said, "Let's eat. Cheer up. Come on. Let's eat." And they all took the cheer and ate something with him. Praise the Lord. Jesus says, "In the world you have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." We're so afraid sometimes of being disappointed. We're so afraid that what if we'd have to walk by ourselves again? And the lessons that God tries to teach us, we say, "Nope, that's taken me right out. I feel like I'm right at the point where I was again when I had to leave father and mother and church and all that. I don't think I'm supposed to be back there again." And here God is trying to teach us another step. He's trying to give us a bit more courage. He's trying to teach us to go a little higher. But we're scared. In Guatemala, one of the North American families, and we stayed overnight with some of them. One of them said, "Ask Brian and Olin where Brian and Olin stayed." This preacher, he's been 30 years in Guatemala. He's living in a really nice house. He said, "You preach. I know you're preaching here in these cities and so on, but what are you going to do when your contacts, those that come to you, want to know where to be a part of a church? Who are you going to refer them to?" That's kind of scary. I mean, what are they going to do? What do you have to tell them other than just follow the Lord? That doesn't look very good. I forget their exact response, but they didn't spend much time talking about it. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. 1 John, let's turn there. 1 John chapter 4 and verse
1 John 4 and verse
16. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 14. "We have seen and testify that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in Him, and He in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected with us, so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment, because as He is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because He first loved us. Praise the Lord. Let's pray. Dear God, we need greater love. And Father, we recognize it's a choice that You've given us to make. We're going to love You, love Your kingdom, and keep on pressing forward. We thank You for Your words. Be of good cheer. We praise You, Father. And we're going to take cheer as much as lieth in us, Father. We pray for any fearful brother, sister. Give courage and strength, Father, we pray. We ourselves know what it is to be in fear. Fear hath torment. Dear God, just perfect us in love, we pray. We want that perfection. And we thank You for the promise that perfect love casts out fear. And that in Your fear, fearing You is strong confidence. And Your children will have a place of refuge. Father, we look forward to refuge with You someday, that we understand that many times in this way there will be no refuge at all, it will seem. And we'll be like Paul in the shipwreck at times. Father, we just thank You, though, for the brethren You've permitted us to have and the fellowship You've given us. Pray for the man in Andorra that would long to be part of a fellowship like that, but he's scared. Be with him, dear Father, we pray. We thank You for the brethren far and near where they are. Brethren in Colombia, pray for them. Brother Ismael there, pray for Brother Omar. Pray for Sister Rosa, that's with the Mennonites, Father, but wishing to get out. Just pray for her. Pray for the Church of Christ people, Raul, Anderson, and Rikaji, we pray for him, where he is, he and his wife. Oh, the other man that's with Raul, forget his name, pray for him, Lord. Now we just ask Your protection on us. Pray for David and Colby, be near them. Father, thank You again for this privilege of being with the brethren this morning, and for Your care and protection on us and on the and the work You gave us in the last couple weeks. Pray for Brian and Nolan. Near them. Now, Lord, commit ourselves to You and this week and till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name, amen. You might have some thoughts, brethren. Be free. Something to add? Testimony or something?
Appreciate the message. Just had to think of what Jesus said to Peter after his death there in resurrection, and he told him about John here.
Amen. What shall this man do? Peter said, yeah, amen. I think, are you wanting the mic, David? Oh, okay. Oh, praise God. Thank you. Yeah.
As Christians, it's our duty to be charitable. Jesus said, love one another as I have loved you. And if at any time we feel that a brother is being uncharitable towards us, it's a hypocrisy for us to be uncharitable towards him.
Amen.
That's our duty. And we just need to assume that responsibility.
Amen. Responsibility. I caught that. Amen.
What David just said there kind of goes right along with what I was thinking too about the something David said, I think last Sunday, something about the heart of the kingdom of God is right at the center of it. Is our personal commitment to follow Jesus in our own life, just to obey Jesus.
Yes.
That's just the heart of the kingdom, the heart of the church, the heart of Christianity, is that I will follow Jesus and do what he says to do myself. We're not responsible for everyone else. It just makes it a whole lot simpler if we keep the focus right there and think about going
Amen.
Forward and just doing what I need to do.
Amen. Yes. Our eyes still fixed on our commitment to the Lord.
I was just going to share something that seemed to be helping me recently. Just kind of thinking about a lot of scary scenarios or what if situations or future things or even past things. That's just been a real blessing lately to just think about today. You know, and just think about how am I going to follow Christ right now? You know, and just, you know, what am I doing right now? Not necessarily be focusing on so much of what about tomorrow? What's that going to bring? And what scary things am I going to have to go through? Or just be focused on following Jesus right now.
Yeah.
It's been a real blessing.
Yeah. Amen. Well, amen. That results in a song. Just thinking of that, just thought right now, the thought came to me that Deborah and Barak then sang a song together, Song of Victory. He might not have had honor, but he got to help sing. Praise the Lord. Okay. Well, let's be dismissed. Someone have a little song? Let's sing that doxology and we'll just be excused. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Thank you.
Stand up.